Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with a good friend of the ministry, Ken Rupert. Now, not only is Ken a financial expert that helps you out with his Black Belt financial program, but he's also an author, and he's wrote several different books. But the one we're going to be talking about, or one we talked about yesterday, so if you missed any of yesterday's interview, go back and catch up. But his book is God, I Was Wondering. This is a book where you ask questions of God. He's collected questions from atheists and agnostics, as well as Christians of various denominations, and he's compiled them all into a book, and it is awesome. Again, if you missed yesterday's interview, you need to go back and catch up, because we're just going to start right off where we left, which was a question that I had for him where he laughed when I asked it, but he said, yeah, I've got some people that ask it. Why did God create man? Now, if you want to hear the answer, stay tuned. Here we go, right back into the interview with Ken Rupert. Any question about why did God create man to begin with?
Oh, yeah, you got it. There actually is one.
Is there? Okay.
Yes, there actually is one of those that, let me see if I can find it again. Now, there was a really good question about why God, what does he think about organized religion, which was a fascinating deep dive.
Yeah.
In that one. But why did God create man? If you give me a second here.
Not a problem.
Yeah, there's so many good questions in here.
Yeah, this sounds like a fascinating book. I'm going to be getting my copy once we get off the air here, because I'll be able to use it for reference material when I'm doing teaching and stuff.
It's a very interesting, like I say, a very interesting read, very interesting study. I wish I just would have gotten a whole list of questions and just said these are the questions I got, but then that would take away the fun of going out and buying the book and discovering the questions for yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Wow.
Amen.
And I want to talk about a fun question too, that when we get to the end, or you know, later on in the interview, we could talk about the fun question. Because it was one that my wife said, you're not seriously going to answer that, are you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to, because I thought it was very important. It's important to know. I wish I could find it.
Well, just summarize it for us.
Well, basically, they just asked, you know, why did you create man?
Uh-huh.
And what you find is that it's very much akin to it. So I remember there was a pastor I was listening to on the radio, and I forget who gave this story, but he was talking about this fish. And this kind of goes along with the platypus question, to tell you the truth. Somebody asked the question, why did you make the platypus? Because we know the platypus is a totally it's an anomaly among animals, right?
Yeah.
It's a mammal, but it lays eggs. It's got all these different types of attributes that just you find spread out across the animal kingdom. And the same thing for humans. Why did he create human beings? God creates things for his good pleasure. That doesn't necessarily mean we understand it. And one of the big discoveries that I made in this book is that there are going to be a lot of things we're not going to understand. We're not going to like. We're not going to agree with. We're going to think God made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, he didn't.
Right.
We're trying to take and apply a finite mind to an infinite God.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to do.
Yeah.
So a couple questions got very serious. They were asking about the death of a child and will I see him and recognize him in heaven? Mm. There was one about, why did you make my daughter autistic? Yeah. And that one hits home for me, because after all, my son's disabled. So those kind of questions are, sometimes you have to get to the place where you realize, I just don't understand it. Mm. But if you're grounded, if the core of you believes that God is good and that whatever is done, it's about good. There's some good that's going to come out of it. I mean, I think about all the things that I would never be able to experience with my son. Yeah. And I won't be able to go out and throw a baseball with him, and I won't be able to go out and play golf with him, and I won't be able to, you know, take him to the pool and watch him swim and and just play and frolic in the pool, basically because, you know, based on his disability, he'd probably just drown. Yeah. So those are things that I'll never be able to do. Yeah. There's a lot of things that I feel have been taken away from me. But then there's his spirit. My wife and I did not have to spend any time teaching him about God. There was something about his spirit that just exuded this love and belief in God without us even teaching him a lot about it.
Yeah.
One of the first things that happened, I remember he was like 3 years old, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a great teachable moment. I'm going to bring him down. I'm going to teach him about the ceiling fan and the mechanics of the ceiling fan. And so I was holding him in my arms, and I pointed up to the ceiling fan, and I said, what do you see there, Daniel? What do you see up there? Because I wanted to see, you know, based on our conversations around the house, his level of comprehension.
Yeah.
And he looked up at the fan, and he paused for a long period of time. And I said, what do you see, Daniel? And he said, I see an angel. Mm. And it just, I mean, it went right to my heart. I was just so blown away. Yeah, and I just said to him, you know what, buddy? If you see an angel, I believe you saw an angel.
Yep. Amen.
And over the years, he's just gotten this real passionate love for God. And it's not like we've taken him to Bible studies and tried to teach him the Bible. He just has this innate sense about him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's good. He touches people's lives. He's got such a sweet spirit. And that all comes from the fact, yes, he's disabled, but his spirit is phenomenal. And I have to wonder if he was a regular function, you know, teenager, would he have that same spirit? And I have to default and say he probably wouldn't, because he would be influenced more by the world.
Yep, that's true. That is true. That's true. So you're going into volume two now.
Yes.
You know, God, I was wondering too, T-O-O-O. How far along is that book?
Well, I've got 10 questions answered. I've got about 23 or so that have been sent to me. So I'm working through those. What I found was the questions got, you know, the first book, it seemed like it was, the questions were, I don't want to say easy to answer, but they were something that I just was more connected to.
Yeah.
And now the questions have gotten more difficult. And right. I think that because the people are asking them, there's something about, I don't know, it's so hard for me to describe, but the questions have just gotten more complicated to try to work through. And I'm finding that the answers are forcing me to dive deeper into God's word, which I really appreciate. I love that kind of challenge. It forces you to really look into it and try to discover some things for yourself in the process.
Amen. What kind of questions are you getting for this book that you're working on?
I knew you'd answer that or ask that. And I don't currently have the list in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're just more complicated. It's hard to describe. I could take the time to pull up. I'm almost certain that if I click on a right couple things, I'm going to be able to here, God, I was wondering too. Let's go manuscript. Let's just do this. We'll just make it easy. All right.
Because, you know, I'm just kind of curious about the level of questions that, you know, like just one or two that have really, wow, I can't believe somebody asked that type of thing.
So it's kind of interesting the way this book is followed, because the first question in the first book, in book one, was why did you create the platypus, right? Mm-hmm. A second question, and this was just kind of very interesting, it follows that kind of same gotcha kind of question, can you spawn a boulder you can't lift? Hmm. And it's very interesting because, you know, that took on the flavor of God often uses the simple things of the world to confound the people who are really, you know, sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. There's a part of the Bible, I want to say it's in 1 Corinthians, where it says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and he's chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty.
Yeah.
And his strength is made perfect in weakness, in our weakness. I think Paul writes about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he's talking about having that thorn in the flesh and, you know, all these things. And it's like Paul realized that it was his weakness that allowed God to be strong.
Yeah,
and so that whole amen. Question is dealing with that whole concept of weakness and strength. Let me get to another question here. Another question. These get longer, actually. Why do people and pastors profess what you, quote-unquote God, would do when it states that you have and will to do things that surpass our understanding and that may make no sense to us or anyone watching us? We just need to listen and to follow your instructions on or about the matter. So there's a lot to unpack in that question.
Right. Yeah.
So what I did, there's actually three questions there. Yeah. So I started to unpack them. And the first premise, I said this, the main premise of the question is God has the will to do things that surpass our understanding. And the second premise of the question is that people and pastors proclaim to know what God's will and will not do in light of the first premise. And the third premise is, let me see if I can find it here. Third premise, the final premise is individuals just need to listen and follow God's instructions about a given matter. So I unpack each one of those because I think that the first one, it's actually a misinterpretation of Scripture.
Amen. Yeah,
and that's what I start to unpack. So, and that question was a very good one. I'll get to one more. I'll just give you one more real quick. Here we go. Why don't others believe in you like we believe in you? Now, this was actually asked by a Christian.
Okay.
And so that's a very interesting one. Why do others not believe, you know, why don't others believe in you like we believe in you? And that's a very interesting question, but it's actually rather difficult to answer.
That sounds, man, this is going to be a great book as well. This is awesome.
Amen. Yeah. And this one's got quite a few questions that, as I get more deep into them, they actually became longer and longer. Like people started packing more into questions than just a simple, you know, one-line question.
Right. Amen. Are you still looking for more contributors of questions, or do you already have all those slots filled? You got what you need?
No, you know, it's very interesting. I kind of like this exercise, and I'm always willing to accept other questions because there may be questions that complement ones that I've already gotten, and there may be other ones that will just take this book to the next level. What I really hope to do with these books is not so much be, as you'd said earlier in the program, not be doctrinal, right? Yeah. In the sense of it's only doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to look at it from a point of view that says, hey, I'm hurting. I'm struggling with this. I want to look at it from a realistic point of view and saying from a finite perspective, how can we apply doctrine to kind of aid our understanding of what we're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm really looking to do, is to get a conversation started. When you know, if an atheist or an agnostic read this book, what I'd want them to say was, well, you you gave an interesting answer, but now I want to know X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And so hopefully it starts the conversation. I think one of the biggest, one of the saddest things we're experiencing in today's world is the cutting off of conversation.
Yeah.
How just in a matter of moments you can accuse somebody or label somebody and it kills the conversation.
Yeah.
And I would love to get back to where we can start talking about our faith and not be subjected to, you know, the kind of vitriol that's out there about issues of faith.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes what really just pings me the wrong way, I guess you could say, is when I'm hearing someone talk about or answering a question about or reading a book or someone's asking a question, you know, like we earlier said, you know, why did you create man? Well, he created man in his image because he wanted to, you know. I mean, okay, you know, I mean, that's true, right? But
it's
that
true.
Did not answer the question, you know.
That's
or,
right.
You know, how can we know that we're going to heaven? Well, because the Bible says so. It says, you know, believe in me. You know, you can't, what's the word I'm looking for? You can't give validity to your answer by using the very document that's in question, I guess you could say. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It's kind of like using,
answering a question with a question. You know, no, you have to back it up with, you know, and it's impossible for us to give substantiated facts about what, you know, what God is thinking and all that, other than what we know from the Bible. But you can't say, because the Bible says so. That doesn't answer their question, you know? That's a big, big bite that you're taking out of those questions there. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's and I try to stay away from that whole thing about just using it. I want to be able to apply. This is more of applying theological thought to real life experiences and trying to say, you know, there is some validity to bringing these two things together. And it's okay sometimes to say, you know what, I don't like this. I don't know how many times I've told God, you know, over the past 18 years of experiencing raising a child with special needs, you know, God, I don't like this.
Mm.
I certainly did not like it when I had to lay him on a cold metal operating table to have his bones cut in half in order to correct his ability to walk. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
But something had to be done.
Yep.
And, you know, would it have been, you know, maybe it's a lack of faith. Maybe it's putting faith in the doctors. I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, I'll admit it. Maybe I didn't have the faith. I would much rather explain to somebody why I did that than why I prayed for healing and never received it.
Right.
Amen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to take our experiences and try to say, hey, from a doctrinal position, is there something that we can put in our core that we can believe that will take away some of the pain? It won't take away all the pain, because certainly there's things that come up from a day-to-day basis that we're all going to struggle with.
Yeah.
Amen. But having a good core, a good system of belief that says, hey, even in this pain, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I don't want it. But I'm okay with it because I'm looking at the bigger picture.
Right. Amen. Amen. So what's this fun question that you are teasing us with?
It was the platypus question.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
When you think about it, it's, you know, why did God create a platypus? Okay. Yeah. So let me just kind of bounce that one around for a minute. And we'll say, because I want to read about the platypus. The platypus makes no real sense. When you think about it, the platypus lays eggs yet produces milk, is furry yet has a duck bill, produces venom but not quite like snakes, and has electroreceptors similar to some types of fish. To say that the platypus is abnormal in nature or is an anomaly of nature is an understatement. So as simplistic as the question may appear, there's a lot of interesting dynamics going on here. And that's, you know, that's kind of the way I open up. I'm like, you look at the platypus and you would have to ask yourself, God, what were you thinking? Is this the one that you got wrong? And then you separated everything out. And, oh, I'm going to give snakes venom and I'm going to give, you know, ducks bills and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But, like, you know, why the platypus? Why this anomaly of nature, right? And so then we go into it and I talk about Genesis 2 and his creation and everything. And it's just a really fun question.
Yeah.
But there's Amen. But there's actually a common sense answer to it.
Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to give the answer? You don't want the person to go and buy the book to get the answer?
I want them to buy the book. But no, I want to know what it is. I don't want to wait. Just a summary of the answer.
The sad thing is there is absolutely no question in here on patience there, Bob. Amen. I'm just saying.
Amen.
What it comes down to is, you know, God created his creation for his good pleasure. And although we do not necessarily see the pleasure that he's gaining from it or that he gets from it or the reason why he created it, we should be able to sit back and just look at his creation and think, wow, you know, somehow this creature that he created, that's such an anomaly of nature, actually brings him pleasure.
Amen.
Now, try to wrap your mind around what pleasure God gets out of that animal that we don't understand. And if he gets pleasure out of that animal that we don't understand, imagine how much pleasure he gets out of you as an individual.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
You know, that's the translation.
I can almost see him, you know, ribbing Jesus in the side and say, this one will confuse him.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
I've had that mental picture a lot that, you know, God and God the Father and God the Son are sitting up there and God leans over and goes, hey, Jesus, watch this one.
Yeah. Amen.
And just, you know, he's got to have a sense of humor. I mean, after all, he created us, right? So he's just got to have a sense of humor. And so, you know, there's a good way to use a sense of humor and a bad way to use it. And you can use it for good. And I can see him just using it for good like that.
Yeah, amen, amen. It kind of reminds me a little bit about the joke I heard. You know, Jesus and Moses were up in heaven getting bored, and they wanted to come down and play a round of golf down at one of the famous, you know, Pinehurst or something like that. So they came down, and you know, Jesus was slicing the ball left and right, right, hooking, slicing, and kept going in the water. Moses part the water, Jesus go down and get it and come back out, and. Up on the 17th hole, he, you know, trying to land on that island green and bloop right in the water. And he says, go out there, you know, part the water. Let me go get my ball. He said, no, you've been doing that all day. I'm not going to do that now. So Jesus out there walking on the water, trying to look down, see if he can spot his ball. And the next group's coming along beside, you know, behind him. And he says, what's he doing walking on that water? Who's he think he is, Jesus? He goes, no, he thinks he's Arnold Palmer.
Anyway, that's a good
Paul
one.
As Paul said, you know, bear with me a little in my folly. But
there you go.
So, is your book available on Amazon?
Yeah, God, I was wondering, it's available on Amazon.
Okay, and on your website as well.
I believe it's up on the website. Yeah, okay. I've gone over a change of the website, so I believe it's up there as a resource on the website.
Okay, cool. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question for you, or you know, maybe for your next book, they want to ask God a question, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, you know, the best way to do it is just to go to the website and fill out the contact form. The website's address is financialblackbelt.us, and it seems kind of weird that somebody who's talking about financial black belt would be writing a book about God, but as I said, I go into several different you know, I separate into finance books, self-help books, and then books about God and Christianity. And so they could go out on the website and fill out the contact form. And that would be the quickest way to get a hold of me.
Amen. Amen. Now, folks, you need to get a copy of this book. I mean, this is a game changer. It sounds absolutely fascinating. I'm going to be ordering mine once we wrap up our conversation here. You know, you've thought about asking God the Father a question, and You know, if truth be told, some of you do it on almost a daily basis. God, why is this happening? You know you do. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I can hear you looking at me. Glory to God. Just go to the link down below. Order your own copy of Ken Rupert's book, God, I Was Wondering. And as a matter of fact, you need to order two. One for you. Give one as a gift to somebody you know. It might be an atheist you work with in the office. And when they ask you, why are you giving me this book? You can tell them because it was written with questions from folks that believe, or don't believe for that matter, just like you do. Go to the links in the show notes below. Order your copies today. And I know I will be doing it here in just a few more minutes. Ken, thank you for taking the time to come on the program today and share with us about this book. It sounds absolutely fantastic. I can't wait for the next one to come out either.
Well, Bob, thank you for having me and taking the time to discuss the book. And, you know, you talked about Arnold Palmer. You know, I still look forward to that golf outing.
Oh, I know. Golly, my schedule just... I want to. I definitely want to. We need to make it happen before the snow starts flying, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Ken Rupert, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.